It's another episode of Zone of Truth, a glimpse behind the curtain of making pot rod.
Grab your cups, settle in, because we're bringing the tea.
Hey, Natasha, what time is it?
Zone of Truth time.
Is it a special episode of Zone of Truth?
It's a special.
Zone of Truth?
Zone of Truth.
Yes, special episode of Zone of Truth.
Pardon me while I can't talk.
We have our lovely guest, Chris from the Chaos Den.
Hello, I am Chris, the chaotic dungeon master from the Chaos Den. But today I was a player.
Fun to be a player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so fun to be a player.
You were a player and a player.
Yeah, a player.
You know what? Usually people say horny birds. How about a horny paladin?
Ooh.
I mean,
I prefer
Herschel.
That one.
Yeah, also paladin.
That's so true.
Why are we collecting
two horny paladins?
Yeah, we got two horny paladins.
You know what? In all honesty, it was a dice roll. All of Genji was a complete dice roll. I had no sway in what he was other than putting a voice behind him.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is super awesome.
It was so great. I sent Chris the form that I used when
your
I made Lou.
Impossibly weird, like, form that you filled out to make Lou while I'm just drawing tarot cards and you're like, I'm going to do it this way.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was actually so much fun. I'm so used to building characters like, okay, you have your character sheet, you go through this, you go through that. Mm-hmm. No, you roll a dice and you pick this. Oh, okay, you roll a dice and you pick this. Like, completely randomized. I'm like, that's got to be the best way to build a character because you don't know what you're getting. And by the mm-hmm. end of it, you have something completely unique and customized, and you just roll with it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. And there's some stuff on there that I've always been a little like, well, that's why would I need to know that? That's mm-hmm. dumb. But even in like one shots, knowing how many siblings you have gives you, and like how you grew up, gives you a weird sense of like who that character is. Even
it
if you're
certainly
like,
does.
This is stupid and I don't need to know it for the game. True, but it does help you know who that character is very quickly.
It definitely gives you a sense of a way to RP the character. Like, mm-hmm. I grew up with four siblings. It definitely changes who you are having four siblings to, say, having no siblings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
100%.
Yeah.
So, about this episode, what do you guys think?
I thought it was super fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Second episode, I have totally changed how Ro is doing.
He took a turn.
Yeah. Things are a bit dark in his corner, but he's still trying to be positive, but it's having a way on him mentally.
Which makes sense.
That happens when you kill a god.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does.
So he's turned into a little bit of an alcoholic, and things mm-hmm. are a little changed for him. So that'll mm-hmm. be a fun thing to explore.
Yeah. Can't wait to delve into those changes a little further. I don't know. Just all the stuff. Loved having a guest.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys. It was so fun to be a player. I've been a permanent DM for 2.5 years. To get to play is just such a change of pace.
A godsend.
That's a good play on word. It was fantastic. And also just the way that you guys do it without a game master is so different, but in an amazing way. Like the way that the story moves forward without having somebody tell you this is how it's gonna be. It's refreshing.
Right. We usually go based on story-wise, like what sounds good. Like if I have the narrative control for a little while, and then mm-hmm. Natasha thinks of something amazing, we'll just go with it.
Right.
Which is amazing.
It's nice to be able on the fly to just be like, and this happens. And then somebody somewhere rolls a dice and you don't know. And then
it's usually whenever you ask the question, like, is there this there? And they're like, well, I don't know, let's find out.
Right.
Are there guards? No, but there's an Eric Cocker that's going to land on you.
Yeah, absolutely. I had rolled very early on that somebody was going to show up, and they were going to show up 10 minutes in. And then when I asked how long all of it took, and you both were like, 25 minutes, I was like, Well, fuck me. They were supposed to show up already.
And somehow I sweet talked our ass right out of that entire situation.
Sometimes that's all you need. And Ro, I'm so glad, was not going to do any of the talking. I had to roll to make sure, because he's usually the person that does all the talkie talkies.
The Aarakocra rolled a 6 and then a 1 on those rolls. So.
I was really curious as to how that got pulled through. I'm like,
terrible rolls.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Really bad rolls.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. The purple dice, not as great.
You know what? The dice tell a story.
They do. That was the owner of the store. Not that it really matters, but the owner isn't the little cat. The owner is this Hawkman.
Okay.
I was trying to pawn it off, saying that it was the tabaxi that robbed the store.
That's what I figured. And then I was like, but would he think that? No, because he 100% trusts her and she has a key. She wouldn't like break the front window. That'd be dumb.
Yeah.
Very well, true. Very
not
true.
Really, because then you'd throw the suspicion off yourself. Because if you have a key and nothing's broken, like if we broke in, like Herschel just walked in and locked the door, suspicion would be put on her. But if you break the glass,
right.
Outside suspicion.
Yep.
That's true. Well, maybe things might become hairy for Ash and Muse, but I don't think they will.
No.
Well, it's not like they lost anything.
That's true.
It's true. Lock they box. Didn't.
Ugh, empty lockbox.
I really debated having one of you guys roll to see if anything was in there after I rolled that there was nothing in it. I'm like, well, that sort of sucks.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. I already rolled.
Well, the funny part would have been if Ro had opened it inside the shop and realized it was empty.
Right.
Would you have tried to keep searching?
Probably.
And if you had, we probably would have gotten caught, like red-handed caught.
Right. Yeah. Not like as we're leaving the building.
Yeah. So that would have been like 10,000 times worse than what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. 100%. I'm just more worried about the little bit of self-destructive path Ro is going on, but I mean...
I don't think Genji's helping.
No, like, he's enabling.
Absolutely not.
He's definitely enabling.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to get drunk? Here's 2 big kegs.
So, I have to bring up Lou's little secret that just got dropped in this episode, other than having a person that traveled with you before that also has hurt Ro's feelings just a little bit, like, oh, you had somebody you're really close with that you didn't tell anybody about?
Whoopsies.
So, all right, to be fair, Genji wasn't always in Lou's past when we started this game. When I found out we were going to get Chris as a guest, I was like, dibs, you're mine. Yeah,
there's a lot of secret talk back and forth about how we were gonna pull
Genji in. No, fair. You're not allowed to call dibs right away. We'd have to roll for it. That's the rules.
No, I was like, my friend, I dibs it. It was also a little bit like, Ro just had some really cool shit happen, so it's Lou's turn.
It is. I agree 100%.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting Genji, like, I know you had mentioned it already to me, but I wasn't expecting Genji to be such a horn dog. That was pretty fun.
He's got the charlatan background, and then he had some of the features of he can't deny a pretty face, he can't say no to a pretty face, and he's turned on by all sexes.
Yeah.
So everything to him is pretty. And hot and essentially bangable.
Yeah. Oh my god, what would happen if he sees Kieran?
Yeah.
It would probably be an on the spot and decent exposure.
Yeah. As for Lou's other revelation, again, Lou had a background and then I amped it up a little bit. Like,
well,
yeah. I turned it up a bit.
Because I
gave it a little flavor.
Yeah.
Threw gasoline on the fire.
You really did. When the person you're playing with and against, technically,
Playing against each other, though.
Kind of. When you come in with, yo, I can suck God's powers out, my whole, I'm a dwarf with a cool deck of cards is real Peasley. Like...
I already told you, it's your fault for this happening.
Well, I mean, I know.
He's right. I was there. I'd listened to it all.
Yeah, I know. Because I did the whole thing with Arya and Brent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's how it all happened. This game is so fun, because our original thoughts and ideas change and shift to where Absolutely. The story goes.
Chaos yeah. is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's beautiful, and I love it, and I'm excited to continue sort
Part
of
two.
Going through all of these little
all
changes,
the motions.
Seeing where all this goes.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
I'm being handed thing.
Why a whisk? Do you have to go make pancakes? What's happening?
I have no idea.
Oh, I want pancakes.
Late night pancakes sounds really freaking good. Just so everyone knows, we are not drunk. We got no. done recording an episode where our characters are drunk as skunks, but we all would like some late night pancakes.
I would love some late night pancakes right now. Just some chocolate chips sprinkled on top with some nice maple syrup.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, that would be really amazing.
Oh, God.
On that note, we should probably... just call this, we are probably going to piece together this zone of truth, because we're not done with Chris yet.
Yes.
No, so, I will be coming back for round two.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So before we go.
Yeah.
Natasha, do you have any extra things you want to discuss?
I think you're asking about other things, but yes, there is something I want to discuss, because in typical Natasha fashion, I can't just end this fucking thing.
That's why I have this.
I just wanted to take a moment to say, as much as Chris and I talked about the stuff, was not expecting that ending with the shadow figure coming and finding you.
Well, I had to throw my own little tidbit in there just to mix it up a little bit. Gotta leave something for the people to want.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you want to know what I was absolutely terrified of?
What's that?
I thought the figure was going to like murder you in your sleep. And that's how you were going to be like, I was just here for one episode, bitches.
I did think about that. It's just like, do I want to opt myself out, or do I want to be able to come back? How much do these guys like me?
I saw the roller coaster of emotions on your face when he was describing that.
I was like, no. We're not. No, I can't wait.
Herschel's
I don't want
been
this to
through
be done.
Enough that sweet baby angel doesn't need any more drama.
Can you imagine waking up and the person you were cuddling was brutally murdered and you didn't wake up for it? And you're a paladin? Oh my God.
I think there would be some very extreme darkness in Herschel's heart if Genji had been killed in the same bed with him.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would have been a fun arc to go through.
Oh, that'd be rough. Like,
no, he would be too mopey. I can't deal with that mopey.
I don't know. See, I got this funny feeling that Herschel at that point, his mopiness would have subsided and anger and rage would have taken over. Because he's seen you guys be hurt and he's seen things happening. But he hasn't had any of his friends die.
That's true.
To have death happen that close to him after being reunited with someone that, from what we've been able to kind of figure out, is that close to him, like almost like family. I feel like that would have broken him.
He's already in a dark place. This episode didn't seem like it because...
I've been pushing him out of that dark place because... I need someone responsible to be there when I fall into that loop. So I'm selfishly like nudging him, like, get better, get better, get better. I don't know how much longer I can hold it. Get better.
Mm-hmm. And he has seemed much more his normal self because Genji's around and it's good. But if Genji were to die when he was on that like upswing, oh man,
You can imagine if, you know, the next episode comes in, it's just like, and Genji's dead. Like, that's the way the episode starts. Like, all right, guys, see you guys later.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have to, guys, we got to go. We got to go put on the books officially when Chris is coming back so we can record the second episode. Because okay. I refuse to let that be an option.
That's true.
Okay. Refuse. Okay.
All right. Anybody else have anything else?
Just one last thing to say. Thank you guys so much for having me on the show. It has been amazing. And I look forward to recording with you again.
It's
we
a pleasure.
Will see you soon.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, yes. And to our future selves, we'll see you shortly.
Mm-hmm. See you shortly.
Well, welcome to Future Us and part two of our lovely Zone of Truth.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Hello.
So some stuff happened.
So yeah. Much stuff.
Stuff and things and yeah. Stuff.
And threesomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What a...
what an exciting, dirty, nasty, I need a shower adventure.
Well, we did try to shower, but apparently Genji doesn't like soap.
Flowery soap.
Yeah. And Ro doesn't like company, so...
Nope.
What an impasse.
But apparently Herschel does.
Herschel always likes company.
Three is a company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So much stuff. Okay.
Yep.
Let's unpack.
Yeah, let's unpack. My immediate question, because I had one that I literally said, don't answer me. Don't talk to me. I won't talk to you because I'm trying to not forget it. Was Kieran always kidnapped?
No.
Okay.
That's what like 95 of the roles were. I was doing was going like, okay, so what should we do with him? Where is he going? What's going on? That's why I was quiet for a whole bunch of section because I was trying to figure that whole part out because I was like, well, he wasn't with, because I asked if the guards that he met up with were part of the group of my brother and sister. It was no. So okay. He was with the other.
Got it. And somehow they're working with Tyrius?
Yeah, and Callum.
Man.
And then Callum's working with Tyrius. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my god.
I was kind of hoping that, you know, Tyrius, from getting hit in the head with that rock from like way, way back, when he like when Ro first, you know, nerfed him and sent him on his way, or sorry, he sent himself on his way. That
yeah.
The rock that hit him in the head with like, knock him out and kill him.
I thought so too. We left him with right? Just like 1 HP and sent Rawaya to hit him with a rock and she did go.
She did.
She
so
did.
I guess it just knocked him unconscious for a short period of
I guess.
Or he, wherever he made it to some healers.
We're just going to find him. He's going to have a big dent in the side of his head.
Maybe. It's crazy.
Battle scars. And I got a question for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you expecting to happen from the Raven?
Way more than me frying him to death because I wasn't sure what was going on. So originally it was going to be like, oh, I'm sleepwalking and I'll have him use his abilities. Well, when she hit me with the whole, you know, Eldritch Blast, it activated something. So I was like, okay, well, what spell is he going to cast? Well, third level Lightning Bolt with the bonus of the force action.
Yeah, you definitely surprised the crap out of me when you literally nerfed this guy in, what, first 5 minutes of the episode?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, there go all my notes.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so let's try and get some information. And that's why I was trying to hurry over to do Spare the Dying. I was like, we got no information from him.
No, nothing. Nothing at all. And I was just like, okay, so there was supposed to be a lot of potential information from this person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that I had it kind of planned out was, okay, if somebody wakes up, then maybe he will try to kidnap somebody. And then be like, okay, you have to bring me the scroll and I'll give you your friend back. But obviously that didn't happen.
Right.
Death.
Well, it's not my fault that Natasha made Ro cast a lightning bolt.
How did I make you cast Lightning Bolt? I gave you the extra oomph behind your spell, but I didn't pick that for you, you weirdo.
I rolled a die 4, and it ended up on 2. I only have 4 third level spells.
Well, made for definitely an interesting story.
It absolutely will, yeah.
His whole power shift dynamic is still causing issues.
It's settling.
Unsettling for me.
It's unsettling, settled. Unsettlingly settled. English.
Oh, other fun things. I mean, Dick Coffee was an unexpected twist of the day.
Yes, Dick
Coffee. I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry.
No, not at all. Not a bit.
Well, if we reference my notes here, I wrote meat is meat, an arrow, and then Dick Coffee. So that helps anybody.
Good notes. I like that.
Well, mine's Dick Coffee equals sexy.
Yep.
So, I mean, threesome with the changes. I'm happy that Herschel finally got to have a proper leg.
Yeah.
He's been fucked by a vampire.
Yeah.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got, a bunch of the vampire explode into dust. And then he was in, this crazy funk for, almost, 9 episodes?
I don't know. It been that long? It didn't feel like that long. It hasn't been that long.
I don't think it's been that long. I keep getting mixed up with your episode with the episodes because it's just like episode. It's not true.
Yeah.
So my brain's just like, it's been like 9 episodes.
Yeah.
It's not.
The Haven Brook in the middle from the summer. Yeah.
It's been 3.
Yeah. That he's been in a funk. Yep. So yeah, this is a good way to get him out of it, I think.
But then
it had the potential of going worse, but it went well. Yeah.
And then poor Herschel, he gets pulled out of his funk, and then he gets thrown right back into a funk because of Tyrion.
Yeah.
It's not a funk. It's more, I think he's more angry than anything else.
Yeah.
Because he honestly did think, kind of again with the guy today, Lou wanted to try and spare him so he could get information. Herschel was trying to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
With Tyrion. And then he escaped.
But villains are going to villain, so.
Villains are going to villain.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes villains have their eyeballs popped from lightning.
Mm, yeah. 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 Yeah.
How are we feeling about Genji's god?
I don't like him at all, and I'm hoping that I can do a showdown with him.
I am interested to see where this god goes with the concept of the god being one of the original gods, creators. The power that a god like that could have, it'd be really interesting to see a showdown between Ro and this god, just to see if Ro's powers could overpower something this ancient, this old.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ro does in some way manage to, let's say, pull the power from this god, would it be so overpowering to the point where possibly it kills Ro because of the amount of power surge that hits him?
Right. You'd have to I feel like you'd almost have to be literally one hand on that god and one hand on the person you're transferring.
Yeah, just a conduit.
Where you just pass through because... If you hold on to it for any length of time, I feel like...
Probably kill you.
Yeah.
I'm also kind of curious to see if possibly this god, this ancient being, is possibly the one behind everything.
That's an interesting thought.
Because this god has sent Genji out to try and find the key.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say that it's not the same entity that's trying to send, Squall out?
Yeah, that's...
Be connected.
It could all be connected. At the same time, Squall could have also been trying to collect these keys in order to stop this ancient entity from doing the exact same thing.
He was pretty selfish.
He's kind of a dick. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he was just kind of a dick. But I do also think...
If it was Bish, that'd be a different story. Praise be Bish.
Yeah, praise to fish. Yeah. Which is dumb, because shouldn't we just be saying, like, praise to Yursa?
Yeah, we should.
Well, what we should probably change to. But I just really like praise to Bish.
Please.
Yeah,
Bish. How do you guys feel about Genji joining the party?
Honestly, I was a little, a good chunk of this episode, I was like, is Genji coming with? I was like, what's happening?
I was more like, how are we going to wrap this up in one episode? It's not going to be that easy.
I have no idea,
like, how to, like, do this.
Right, especially because having the information about where the key is, that's also what you were supposed to do. So
that was my goal, yeah. That was my whole purpose on being a guest, was to be like, hey, guys, here is some information, and here is your way to go to your key. And then somehow I just got dragged into all the chaos.
Right.
It's because Lou likes to collect strays, like Natasha likes to collect strays.
I do like to collect strays.
And I am the biggest stray out there.
Truthfully, even in like college and like right after, it turned into a very fun, almost not really a game, but it always gave me such a weird amount of joy when I'd be like, these are my work friends and these are my school friends. And now I introduce them and everyone is friends. Like, I loved that shit. So I'm all for it.
Well, the question I have to your listeners then, do you want more Genji in your lives?
That's a good question. Should Genji stick around for a while? Should we try and ditch him as soon as we can? Should we push him over the falls? Yeah.
should you just push him out a window?
I mean, Ro could probably do it, but I don't think Lou and Herschel would. And they probably would not be happy with Ro if he did that.
No, I don't think so.
I think Herschel would be back in his funk if he ended up pushing Genji out of, like, you know, falls and just went, bye-bye, splat.
Yeah. Herschel's definitely attached. They have a very interesting background. Like, the connection of Lou to Herschel to Genji to the other people they met along the way to eventually meeting up with the rabbit that Genji goes off with. Like,
oh, that's something that we got to delve into at some point.
Yeah, there's enough there. We truthfully sat down and I rolled the dice to see how long after Lou runs into Genji, they stick together. And it is like a solid 6 months.
Oh, wow.
It's a long time.
There's some history there.
Yeah. So it's not just like this is the guy saved off the road one time, which it could have been easily. The dice were like, nope, not that long. Nope, not that long.
We're pulling the sucker in.
Yeah. Like, nope, it's deep. And then I was like, okay, what direction do they head? Do they run into anything? What is the thing they run into? We've talked about it already a bit. One of the things I'm most excited about the weird connection is explaining that Herschel and Genji both have tattoos.
Ew.
That do cool things.
I don't need a horse.
You don't need a horse.
I don't need a horse.
You don't need a horse.
And we did talk about that in one of the, in the mm-hmm. I think it was the first or second episode that you guys had me on. Genji has the tattoo that allows him to summon a displacer beast.
Yeah. We haven't seen it yet, but we're about to be traveling and we might.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it's probably a good thing that, you know, he leaves on a horse and not on a displacer beast, because I think that would draw a little bit of attention.
So much attention. Screw the stunt doubles. No one's going to pay attention to them at all if we run out of here with the displacer beast.
I think all the city guards will be hunting me down for that one.
Yeah. I just was trying to think of how can we like make it so that they can get away? I was like, let's have people who are dressed like them. I'm like, no, it's got to be like the Spaceballs movie where they capture the stunt doubles. Because then it would be funny.
Yeah,
I was really amused when you were just like, okay, so we have a replica of Genji. I'm like, how are you pulling that one? Oh, we glued fins to his armpits.
We had to make this fast and dirty. We didn't have time.
Yep. He's just a hairy guy.
He's a hairy guy with paper strapped to his armpits.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, I'm so happy that you guys have let me embrace chaos.
Well, that's what we do. We kind of don't really have much constraint on each other when we tell a story, because that's how the story comes to be and how fun it is.
That's how you get dick coffee.
Yep.
Yeah. You miss out on dick coffee and threesomes if you were more strict about it.
True.
Yeah. It's just, it's fun, and it's, I don't know, it's nice to have somebody else who's into the goofing and the riffing and the whatever. Because I know Sam and I have had a lot of fun with it, so it's nice to bring someone else and be like, see, it is still D&D, but it's looser.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yes, looser.
A lot looser. Like, honestly, I have an idea of what I want when I come into an episode and what little pieces of information I want to try to sprinkle in there. But then Natasha always does something that changes what I'm going to do, so I have to make it up on the fly. And then that's how we end up with Ro can steal powers of a god.
I want to learn more about Lou's book.
Oh, I honestly don't have a good story about my book other than I just leveled up in Warlock.
That's your story. And,
legitimately, I can try and spin a little bit more into it. It happened in the week between. So that could eventually be a story. I don't currently have one for it. Technically, mechanically, it's just that I am Pact of the Tome. And once you reach a level, you can do the sending spell to anyone who signs your book. So that's why I'm panic making everyone sign my book so I can contact them if we get separated.
Hey, if you wanted, your book could be your long lost love, like your book in our regular campaign.
No, Lou's not a long lost love kind of gal. That's just not her style.
Not her jam.
No, it's very weird because my other characters have all had like.
God, you got married in one of them.
Yeah, I got married in one. I got pregnant in another. I have a long lost lover as a book in another. Like, I'm not shy about having like a romance element for a character at all. But Lou just hasn't really felt like that's her thing.
Well, you never know what the future holds.
Coffin 3.
It's very true. I did roll that
2
when I was creating our backstory.
1
for. Sorry, that was a cough, and Jimmy's going to yell at me.
He literally came in and scolded her for coughing.
He did. He did earlier.
You know what you did.
As I was saying, I did a roll about the history with Lou and Genji and where we went and the people we met along the way. There is one of them that the dice said that there could have been something more with. I don't think there was, but there could have been. So if we run into that person again, possibly. But I don't know. I also feel a little bit like the little bit I tried to do with Isadora felt like too forced a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know.
I got it more as like you were in awe of her versus like, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Because after it, I was trying to do it as more enamored. And then I was like, no, I don't like that choice. Oh, good. I prefer it to be that way.
Yeah, something like that has to feel almost natural in a way, and not pushing that style of character combination.
Yeah, I think Lou's been a little bit of a... It's weird to say that she's a loner because she has 3 siblings, but... She's always kind of been a little bit of a loner, which is also weird because she picks up strays. So, like, I don't know how exactly...
That could be why Lou feels like she is a loner or why she has that portrayal of a character. She picks up strays because she doesn't want to be alone. But at the same time, she doesn't want to have that intimate of a relationship. So she constantly picks up randos on the street and just goes, "You're my friend now."
Right. Knowing that they're going to have their own life and go off and do their own thing. Like,
yeah, like, for example, like with Genji, like, you picked Genji up off the street. You got him back on his feet. You made him feel whole again. And then he kind of went off and lived his life for however long. And then, bam, he came back and you're like, nothing ever happened. Time never went by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fun, and it's weird, and I love all the different characters you can make in this game.
Oh yeah,
no two super characters fun. Are ever the same.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you're an edgelord, because then they're all the same.
Yeah, but that's just too basic.
I'm an elf with gray eyes, and I'm sitting in the corner smoking a pipe with my hood up.
Oh, you're Aragorn. You gotta have fun with your characters. You gotta make them a raccoon dog.
It's true.
With fantasy. Jump off buildings.
Warning, a Tabak sea child has invaded.
I'm so excited about Genji.
The only thing
you could not right here. Thank you so much. Interrupted by cats. Sorry. Brennan Lee Mulligan is no longer in the phase where he's just being cute and running up to my other cats. He's full attacking, like pouncing on them now. And they don't love it. So.
No, I don't blame them.
Yeah. So distractions. Sorry, Jimmy, you can cut all of that nonsense out.
Do your job, damn it.
Well, I'm going to have to say no.
Anyways, so I'm very excited about Genji, that he's just such a weird and unique character too, because even though every character is unique, eventually you're just kind of like, oh, this is another elf, or this is another warforged, or another whatever. But with the Simic hybrid thing, you're literally just like a lab experiment mutt thing. And like, there is no other Genji.
No. You're making a Simic. You're pretty much taking multiple characters. You're molding them into one. And then you're kind of spitting it out and going, what are you? What am I going to do with you? Like, there's so many possibilities with a character like that, that you can, because they are a molded, created science experiment, they can be 100 years old. They can be 5 years old. Genji is only 4 years old. So his life experience is not. The only thing that he knows is his life with Lu, and then whatever he experienced on the road by himself. So he has no concept of social interactions. He's got no concept of personal space, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't understand why things are the way they are. He just kind of goes, oh, I want that. I'm going to take that. I want to do this, so I'm going to do this. You can't typically do that with, say, a standard elf or a dwarf or a gnome, because they had a past life. They grew up with typically a family, unless you're one of those crazy people who's like, I'm an orphan.
And I grew up with wolves in the forest. Exactly. Or I was raised by dragons.
Mm-hmm.
I had a squirrel family and they fed me nuts for my entire life.
So I like to gobble nuts. As many as I can. You're welcome. Crazy.
So being able to have that weird aspect of whatever you want is kind of fun to play with. You just kind of make it your own each and every time if you want. There's no boundary. There's no, you have to play this character this way. You just kind of take it, as you guys would say, roll the dice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True. So true.
Now we got to get Sam into a character that isn't basically a human dude.
It's hard. I could probably do it for one shot, but I don't know if I could stick with it for a long character. I think the best you're gonna get from me is probably like a changeling. I've been thinking about it real hard about what I want, and nothing seems to stick, so I may have to randomly do it and then just deal with it.
That's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
First character I ever made was a high elf. He got his powers from Tolkien.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The first character I tried to play, I wanted to do like a serial killer, so that probably says a lot about me, huh?
You think that's bad. My first character was a half elf, and it was a lady, and she was a rogue, and her name was Rogue, and she looked like Rogue from X-Men.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I killed my entire party because I was like, let's not split up. And then at the end, I'm like, we might as well just split up. And we all got overpowered.
So my good job. One little question to you guys is, where do you see us going once we make it to Obsidian Falls? I know you guys have kind of skirted around it in the past episodes and kind of avoided the location. Is there anything that you guys think will transpire here?
Oh God, it really depends. Because it is the kingdom of Dibidana,
yeah,
and where like the castle is, it's going to be harder for us to operate around this. So I'll be doing rolls to figure things out because it can either be good or it can fuck us over massively.
Which I kind of hope.
Yeah, we weren't necessarily specifically trying to avoid Obsidian Falls. We were trying to avoid going into Dibidana at all.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah.
Mostly because of Callum and not wanting Ro to go in there and just be like, let's just deliver him to your doorstep.
Yeah.
Your Uber Eats is here. Like, preferably not. So this was kind of a nice, like, hey, we got there and we didn't have to go through Dibidana. And isn't that great? And now for all signs to be, you have to still fucking go there.
That's why I was like, fuck you, Destiny. Fuck you.
Right. Does suck. Like,
yeah,
without a doubt, does suck. I also can't say too much. I have plans.
Yeah, and Lou's secret job, is that gonna be like kidnapping us out of where we are?
I've been trying to spy on Ro the whole time, and I'm just here to really deliver him right to Callum.
Lou is the big bad.
Yeah, you just didn't.
You're
know.
Really Callum yourself. Polymorphed into.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's why she collects all the strays.
Don't be ridiculous. I'm not Callum. Herschel is. Oh.
I wonder why he keeps trying to sleep with me.
And meanwhile, here, Genji's just assisting in his evil plot.
Yeah. Yep,
that's how.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, I don't have the grandest of plans, but I do have like a contact for us in already set up in Obsidian Falls if we choose to use it, which I haven't mentioned yet. So I did want to have, when we were originally going through, I was like, it's going to be really rough getting through Dibidana. I want there to be someone in Obsidian that we can like reach out to, and I want that to be a thing. So I do have some of that stuff sort of set up already in my head. I do not have Obsidian Falls planned out. How are we going to do that?
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out.
Chris will do it.
We have to rescue Kieran.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yes, welcome.
One of us.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've kept saying from the beginning, because of what you did, I already know how this campaign is going to end. So it really just depends on how bad things get.
Right.
They can get really bad.
They could.
Especially going into Obsidian Falls, the one place we kept trying to avoid on purpose.
Yeah. We totally stayed in the Beaver Towns that long on purpose.
No, we did not plan on staying in the Beaver Towns that long. They were just so charming.
Oh, they were so lovely.
They were ridiculous little towns, and weird stuff just kept happening. And then we're like, well, looks like we were planning on getting in and out today, and we barely woke up. So guess we're here for 3 more episodes.
Yep. Yep.
I still giggle at 3 football teams.
Goblins, thank you very
goblins,
much.
My apologies,
goblins. Gobbos.
Oh no.
After
I've listened to all the episodes.
After much harassing from Sam, I named them.
Yep.
Oh, you actually named them?
They are named, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
The gecko also has a name.
Yep.
His name is Dorfney.
Oh.
The goblins are. Oh my god, I did name them all.
I think you posted it on Instagram.
I think you did too.
I might have. I know one of them is Porbit, and one of them is Chuffnut. But I can't remember the third one.
How did you come up with Chuffnut?
I think it was me looking at some goblin name generators and just being like, these are gobbledygook. And then just literally sitting here and making a bunch of gobbledygook names and trying to figure out which ones were my favorite.
Squidge, Corbett, and Chuffnut.
How could I forget Squidge? He's the little barbarian asshole on the top.
Do you guys have any questions for Benji, for me?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, of course, my immediate questions are, what information did the shadow figure have? But we can't know that because our characters didn't know that. So
no,
we don't get to get that.
Spoilers.
Like I could give you.
It's true.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah, we don't like spoilers because we like to be surprised with what we're thrown, so that we can form the story as it goes.
Yeah,
that is how we roll.
I will keep my lack of notes to myself.
Which really sucks because neither of us can keep secrets real well.
Not very great at it.
So when we come up with this great idea, we really, really, really want to tell each other, but really, really, really can't.
Hey, we can tell Chris now. And then Chris will be like, I know everything.
And I'll share nothing with anybody.
We should just tell Jimmy everything because he's the editor. So.
You know what? We probably should tell Jimmy and just be like, hey, heads up. This is what's coming down the line. So I'm going to need you to take any signs of that out of everything.
Yep.
And just make sure you don't edit these important parts out.
Right.
Because that would really suck.
I still think my favorite episode of the Zod is when he edited out certain things for the whole episode. So nobody knew anything.
Yeah, he bleeped everything. Yes. The second part of our second Havenbrook episode came out today, and he did all sorts of stuff in that one, and it was beautiful.
It was.
The laughs killed me.
Me too. I was like, the giggling grass giggled, and I wasn't expecting it, and I knew he was putting stuff in, but like I didn't really listen to it beforehand, and then I was like, oh no.
I was listening to it at work, and I was in a customer's house, and that just came into my ears, and I just burst into uncontrollable laughter. And like
nice.
this homeowner is looking at me like, "What is wrong with this technician?" And I'm like, "Oh no!"
You also couldn't possibly explain it—the giggling grass.
I'm listening to a comedy. That's all I can say.
Yeah. It just got to a really great part. Oh. It was beautiful. Well edited. Thank you, Jimmy, for all of your hard work.
So well done. So well done.
Thank you for taking over because I sucked.
It's honestly so hard to get the motivation to do the editing part. Chris, how's all of that going over by you and your podcast?
What's
Throw the
ball. Right. You do mostly like the whole episode. You don't really cut bits out.
On our last episode, I did have to do some cutting out because at one point in time, if you listen really, really carefully, you can just hear the music kind of jumps for a couple seconds. And that's because two of my players decided to get into a slapping match with each other.
Oh!
And I had to scream at them like children.
Lovely.
That was fun. And I also, I use a dry erase board for when I'm doing initiative rolls in our combat. And I accidentally leaned against it and it snapped.
Oh no.
Oh, it was so loud. It was really easy to find on the recording because it's just this big spike.
Right.
I think I deafened three of my players. It was loud. It was like thunders like erupting in the room. It was amazing.
Wow.
I got all their attention though.
Well, that's all that matters.
No more slap fights.
Yep.
No more slap fights. Children. Even adults are children, no matter what you do.
That's true.
We're not really a good example of adults.
No.
Dick coffee. So.
I mean, I'm a prime example of a child in an adult body. I bring dick coffee, threesomes.
Yeah.
Whatever random. Whatever pops into my head just kind of comes out of my mouth. I don't have a filter.
Yeah, yeah.
That works fine. Yes. Some of the funniest things that have happened or weirdest twists or whatever in Pot Rod have been because Sam says something that he thinks he's saying to be funny. And then I'm like, you said it. I'm going to roll about it.
It's a canon event.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is canon after you say it.
Yeah. I mean, if the dice say no, they say no. But if they say yes, well,
that's
whose
what
fault
we're doing.
Is it?
Me for opening my fat trap.
That's the best way to get a good story, is just to go with the flow.
Yeah, just riff off of it. Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I think that's what,
about D&D.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this specific story go so well, is just a building on it.
Well,
absolutely.
You guys got me hooked.
Love it.
Joining you guys is just a cherry on the cake.
I mean, yeah, it's been great. It's fun having an extra person for a dynamic. Gosh, we'll end up having a whole party eventually. Natasha, collect more strays.
I mean, I could work on it. No promises, but I could work on it.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Well, thank you so
Art
much.
Art of inspiration.
Well, one of these days I might have to bring you guys over to Chaos then. Roll a one-shot for YouTube.
I would love it.
Yeah, we would definitely love to help you out and have fun.
And to meet all of your players.
Well, I don't know how that would work because we play in person. So I'm not sure how I would be able to pull two online, but I don't know. I'll figure it out somewhere.
We'll just be on the same screen judging everybody from the other side.
Or I'll just make all my players do online.
That's true.
Good.
We can always come use our beautiful online platform.
This is true.
You can have up to, what, 12 people?
Yeah, I think Zencastr is 12 people.
Yep.
So, it can be done.
Yeah, it can.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, they might just be like, you're cheating on us with other players. We don't want to do that.
I don't know what kind of players would be like, you're cheating on us when your DM is doing other games for other people.
I don't know.
It's more like the DMs would be upset at the players for playing with other DMs.
I wouldn't care.
No.
As long as you come back to my table and you're still playing with me and you're just as involved, playing as many games as you want.
Yeah, I'm excited for the day that that happens.
It's at this point that our three DMs / players started talking about a variety of off topics, anything from favorite colors, types of fruit, and what grit sandpaper to use to refinish an antique wood chair. After 6.5 hours of conversation, they realize how off topic they were and brought it back just in time to say bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 We'll see you again.
Yeah.
If you have any questions that you're burning to know the answers to, send them to us at joinpartyoftwo@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at joinpartyoftwo. That is the number 2.
Look for new episodes of Party of Two Roll of the Dice every Friday.
As always, thanks for listening.
Bye! We love you!